Welcome into a Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brennis. I'm joined by Matt Thompson. How are you doing tonight, Matt?
Good, man. I got you for another one, huh?
Yeah. Second prospect pod. I'm excited. We're going to be talking about the Twins
good today. Good system. The top guy is a stud, and the rest of it's quality depth. It's a nice system, probably in the 12 to 15 range, I think.
Okay.
A little bit lower than the Cardinals, but Cardinals had a lot of depth and a top-end guy. This team has a top-end guy and a lot of depth, but they don't have, you know what I mean? They're just not a lot of major league ready talent like the Cardinals do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nice system for sure.
And a team that can develop that talent, and especially because they probably won't have a great year this year. They have a chance to really.
Yeah, I hate the Twins this year. I think they're more likely to lose 90 games than they are to make the playoffs again. So
yeah, they have a. They're going to have a tough season, I think, and this gives them a chance to evaluate this minor league talent that they have. But why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached real quick?
Yeah, MB Tomp FWFB.
I can be reached at B Brennis FWFB. Why don't we jump right in? Who's your top prospect from the system?
It's very, very clear. It's Royce Lewis. Dude has everything. Athletic shortstop, 18 years old. An 18-year-old that played in the Midwest League this year, which is pretty much the average age around in that league is around 21, 22. And he was 18 years old, and he had 296, 363, 394, and 71 at-bats. 77% contact rate. Walk rate fell to 8%. Hit a home run and stole three bags. I'll just cut the crap right now. I think he's a Carlos Correa-like talent. Doesn't have the frame because he's 6'1", weigh 185. I do think the power is not going to quite be where Correa is, but he's going to make up for some of that value because he's going to steal more bases. The speed is elite. He's going to be a good batting average and OBPS. That guy in the GCL this year, his walk rate was 13%, while I made 87% contact rate, 271, 390, 414 in the GCL, three homers and 15 steals. He's Plus arm short, really good actions, good range. I love Royce Lewis as much as it's probably legally okay to. he's in the top 20 in my rough draft in my farm system reports. The only shortstops ahead of him are Gleyber Torres, Bo Bichette, and I say Bo Bichette as a shortstop loosely, Brendan Rodgers, and Tatis. So he's in elite company. He's ahead of guys like Jorge Mateo and J.P. Crawford and stuff like that. I'd rather have him over them. So I really like Royce Lewis, and I think he's a potential top two-round fantasy pick and when everything gets going. He's a Mookie Betts-type kind of guy, so I think that's a better comp than maybe that's a better comp than Correa because the power is going to be more that level and more steel. So I'll go with that a little bit. Plus runner, obviously. Impressive contact rates for being so young. I love Royce Lewis.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised when he went first overall, but I can see why after the stat line and everything that he was able to put up. I'm a big fan of the speed and everything, and I like the Correa comp. Obviously, I don't think that power was going to be as high as Correa, but it was good to have him steal bases and be a good average player and have some power. So
I think the Mookie Betts comp is better. I want to retract the Correa comp because he's not going to hit for enough power.
Exactly.
But he might have to move to the outfield, though, too, because the shortstop defense, which I think is fine, some evaluators don't because some evaluators need their prospects to be plus defenders at short. But there's a reason why everyone's not a plus defender at short because it's freaking hard and rare to find a guy like that. So I like Lewis, and I think Mookie Betts is an apt comp for him because the walks and strikeouts, he walked more than he struck out in the GCL this year. Didn't repeat that in the Midwest League, but I think he starts the year off in the Midwest League and rises up. He's to Double A by the end of the year. He's a fantastic talent.
Yeah, he's got a great power speed combo. Who else do you like from the system on the batting side?
Nick Gordon, but I want to temper this saying I don't like him as much as some do. I'll be real quick with the Nick Gordon. Why I don't like him so much is, yeah, he's got the power and speed combination, a little bit more power than his brother, but doesn't have the speed at all. 13 stolen bases and 9 home runs in Double-A this year. 29 doubles and 8 triples, so it points to a little more power being there. Potentially, he could maybe scrape 15 homers, and he can probably steal 15 bases. Makes a lot of contact, good walk rate, can hit the top of the order, probably a number 2 hitter if everything breaks right. Should be able to stick at shortstop, but in this system, I'm not sure, because Jorge Polanco is still relatively young. He's at the major league level having good success. Came on last year especially. And I think, you know, his line drives, he's more of a gap guy. He's only got average speed, which people think he's his brother. Get that out of your head now. He's not D. Gordon. The K percentage took a significant jump up to AA. That's something to watch. 74% contact rate in AA, which is fine, but it's not where you need it to be for a player of this skill set. There's a lot of Dansby Swanson to his game, and that's not a bad thing. He's a nice guy to own in like 20-plus team Dynasty League, because especially in your middle infield spot, because you know there's a high floor to it. I just don't think the upside is high.
Is there anyone else that you like?
From the pitching side, I'm a fan of Fernando Romero. He pitched in Double-A this year. He missed all of 2015 with Tommy John, came back in 2016, and they pushed him a little bit. He threw 90 innings, threw 125 this year in Double-A. Mid-rotation upside. He's under the radar, 6 foot 215, 23 years old. Fastball is a double plus pitch because of the movement. It's good velocity in the low to mid 90s. Command needs a little bit of improvement, but the pitch has a ton of wiggle to it. Very hard slider that he pairs with it very nice to give a nice two pitch mix. Changeup is improving, and so is the command. That's ultimately those two pitches are going to, the command and the changeup, excuse me, are going to hold his ultimate key to his value. But I like him a lot. And I think Fernando Romero might be able to sneak into the back end of my top 100 list just because of his proximity. I don't know, the upside isn't sky high, but I like him a lot. And then Steven Gonsalves from the left side, 6'5", 190. He's a guy that the numbers don't jump off the board. He's always pitched better than the stuff-wise as far as strikeout rates go in the minor leagues and control rates. 6'5", 190 from the left side, like in a deep arsenal. Changeup is the best pitch. Throws a cutter as well. Low 90s on the fastball. A little bit of deception because he hides the ball. Good slider. Nice curveball. Fly ball tendencies, though. So, you know, target field will actually be a good fit for him. And a lot of what he does doesn't show up on the stat line because he doesn't get guys out by strikeouts or ground balls that are sexier. What he does is I don't want to comp him to Kyle Hendricks because he's not Kyle Hendricks, but he gets a lot of weak contact. That's kind of how he makes his money. Is Gonsalves is he'll jam you, he'll throw the pitch, he'll run the cutter in just enough where you'll miss the barrel and he'll pop up. That's kind of what he does. So it's not the sexiest profile because I think from, you know, a fantasy lens, he's probably an 8.5 K per nine guy in target field, but he should limit the walks and give up light contact, weak contact. So I think ultimately from a fantasy's potential, he's a number 4 guy, which is nice. He's a nice guy to round out your staff or be one of the glue guys in your staff that doesn't get much hype, but he's a guy that should help you. I'm going to jump over to shortstop again. This team has a lot of talent up the middle. Wander Javier, 6'1", 165. He's only 19. He's a big free agent signing in 2015. Very athletic. Bat speed is crazy. I love bat speed. He's got some strength. Above average speed with some power projection. I think, you know, he's a potential five-tool guy. 299, 383, 471, 11% walk rate in the Appy League. His first season stateside, they jumped him up to the Appy League. 4-4 homers and stolen bases and 157 at-bats, so he's got the power-speed combination. Ultimately, it's going to be a long time away. He's only 19, but I think he can hit 290. I think he can hit 15 to 20 homers, and I think he can steal 20 bags. But again, he's buried in the system behind Nick Gordon and Royce Lewis at shortstop, and obviously Jorge Polanco, Brian Dozier at second. Ultimately, I think Nick Gordon probably gets moved, and Wander Javier, Royce Lewis is the middle infield of the future in Minnesota, and that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're looking forward to. It's just the problem is that's still, I don't know, 3 years away at least. So
yeah,
Yeah. You have a while to wait because there's a lot of young talent here. What about a player like Alex Kirilloff?
I like Kirilloff. Missed all 17 with Tommy John surgery. Was hitting in the cage already. He's a potential guy. I think he can hit 270, 280. And I think he can hit 20 home runs. I think he's an ultimate right fielder. You know what I think he compares to? You don't have to go too far to really look. It's I think he compares ultimate upside to like Max Kepler.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before. So.
And I think, you know, he's got the traditional background. Kepler's only been playing baseball for, what, like 5 years or so? It's something crazy because he's born in Germany, family of dancers and stuff, so he's athletic. But Kirilloff is traditional high school background from Pennsylvania. I say traditional now, but not anymore because he had Tommy John as an outfielder. Can play a little first base too, so maybe they stick him at first a little bit to ease him back and let him hit, maybe move him to right field as the arm strength gets a little better. But he's a nice guy to watch. And if you're looking for another corner outfielder, first base type, Brent Rooker. It was the 35th overall pick in the 2017 draft. All he did between the Appy League and Florida State League, 281, 364, 566 slug with 18 homers and 228 at-bats. Plus power. Contact is a thing to worry about. Defensive home. Probably a first baseman, but he's got just enough athleticism to probably play left field, at least for the first couple of years of his career. I think he's a 30-homer bat down the line. Mississippi State, 387, 495, 810 slugging percentage in the SEC. 810. 23 homers and 18 stolen bases in the SEC. I don't think stolen bases are going to be a part of his game, but he does draw walks, and he's an advanced hitter, an advanced baseball player, good IQ, obviously, so he takes advantage of some of the bad catchers. Swing is long, going to lead to strikeouts, but Brent Rooker is a nice guy who might be up relatively soon because he's already 23 years old and power plays. And I just questioned the batting average, too. I think he's probably a 260 hitter, but 260 with 35 home runs, I'll take it. So,
on the note of power, what about Lewin Diaz?
This is a guy you have to dream on a little bit. And I say that because, you know, he's a first baseman, right? First base only. Let me make that clear. He can't even fake it in the outfield. He's not going to be Brent Rooker. He can't fake it in the outfield because he's a big dude. Let me pull up the stat line for Lewin Diaz real quick. But, you know, he was in the Midwest League this year. They left him unprotected for the Rule 5 draft. Obviously, nobody took him. That's not a knock on his long-term potential. Rule 5 draft it's very hard to hide a first baseman with power projection only right now on your major league team. He'd get eaten alive. He's not ready for that. A left-handed swinger, 6'3", but 180 pounds. That tells me there's more power coming. And you know what else tells me more power coming? 33 doubles, 1 triple, and 12 home runs in the Midwest League. 292, 329, 444. He's an aggressive hitter. 25 walks. Wish that was a little higher. Only 80 strikeouts, though. And this is a weird analogy, but you're familiar with Kevin Durant, obviously, doing the basketball podcast and stuff. I forget what the exact numbers are, so don't quote me on any of this, but... isn't it true Durant was like a guard in high school, right? And then he had a growth spurt and kind of, you know, looked, so he's a guy, he's a 6'11 guy that can shoot you out of the gym.
Yes.
And Lewin Diaz, I could kind of see being the kind of first base prospect who he has the bat to ball skills of a contact hitter, but he's going to grow into that power. And plus raw power, double plus. I think he potentially could be a 30 home run guy. It's just not there yet. So you just have to worry about, he might be a DH only when he gets bigger. If he could, and you know, a lot of these doubles can turn to home runs though. So you know, I think he could be a 30 home run guy, but you just have to dream on it. And the numbers aren't there yet. You're kind of taking a leap of faith, but you know, I like him a lot. I'm personally doing it, gambling on him. So, I mean, if, you know, I'm holding myself accountable enough, so I'm giving you guys advice. I would jump on Lewin Diaz if you can squeeze him in. I know you kind of like Lewin Diaz a little bit too. I don't know if you have anything to add. Or
no, I just, you know, ever since you had brought him up last year, he's someone that I've been trying to follow, and I think he's going to be a player that can get you sneaky value, and he's not going to really be drafted. So depending on the size of your rookie draft this year, you could get him at a good value, and could be someone who could turn into a potential something. Now, you know, when you're rolling the dice at that point of the draft, that's someone that you want, someone with that lottery upside, someone who can have the doubles turn into home runs, and someone who, you know, they may be first base or DH only, but power's still going to play on your team, you know. Back, right. I mean, hell, look at Nelson Cruz. You know, he's going to be DH only this year, and he's still getting drafted early because of the offensive abilities that he brings to the table. Don't tell Chuck Anderson that, but,
you know. We're going to shift gears again to another young, two young outfield prospects. The first one I want to touch on is a guy I have ranked a little higher, Akil Baddoo. We talked about him a little bit before we started recording. There's a lot to love in this package right here for Baddoo. I want to pull up the numbers really quick, but he's a potential 2020 type player. He was a, you know, competitive balanced round pick in 2016, which he was, I think he was taken like 36 or something like that overall, 36 or 46. No, sorry, 74th overall. So I was wrong on that. 74th overall pick, good speed. And the most impressive thing for what he did in his 2017 campaign, playing against younger players that are older than him. You know, he's only 19, turned 19 halfway through the season. 5'11", 185, so not a big dude by any stretch. 323, 436, 527 across two levels of rookie ball. 19 doubles, 5 triples, 4 home runs, 9 stolen bases, 36 walks, and 32 strikeouts. Anytime someone can be young for the league and will walk more than they strike out, sign me up. Left-handed swinger. Ultimately, I think he's going to add power, but when he adds power, I think he's going to lose some speed. But he's going to flirt with 2020 seasons. He might not do them both at the same time, but he could be a guy that has, you know, 20 steals, and then as he gets bigger, the steals drop with the home runs uptick, and he can be another switch to 20 home run guy over a course of a couple seasons. So I like Akil Baddoo a lot. Contact rate was decent too, 85% and 83% in the two rookie ball levels. Strikeout rate was low, only 12% and 15% in two levels. Walk rate, 17% and 10%. So he's a stud.
What about a player like Cole Stewart? Does he have any fantasy value this year?
I don't think so. I think Cole Stewart can come up out of the bullpen. I think he's kind of in the mold of what we talked about, Connor Green in the Cardinals podcast. He's a heavy ground ball guy, but he doesn't have that kind of stuff. Low 90s, kind of boring guy like that. I want to touch on another outfielder real quick, Lamonte Wade. He had a concussion in the Arizona Fall League, so he ended his season there. 292, 397, 408 line, 22 doubles, 7 homers, 3 triples, and he stole 9 bases. Excuse me. Sorry. I like him a lot. I think he's a talented player. And I think he's in that same rung there. He's a little bit behind Baddoo, but I think he's got some upside. Another guy that I want to touch on, Junior Severino, was a guy they got from the Braves purge when they lost him and for violating all those rules. I think he's ultimately a nice offensive and defensive package and up the middle, probably second baseman, but I think a good one. Bruzdar Graterol is a nice pitching prospect to touch on, kind of emerged on the scene. Nice free agent signing. Had a 10.7 Ks per 9 and 9.9 Ks per 9 across two levels of rookie ball. The walks are a problem, but he throws hard. So he's a nice guy to take a flyer on. Bruzdar Graterol. Got an 80 grade name as well. Lewis Thorpe is an Aussie from the left side. Added to the 40 men now. Very good stuff. Very advanced. He's very similar to like someone like Steven Gonsalves. 2.9 ERA and 91 strikeouts and 83 innings from the left side. Again, had missed the entire last two seasons. Had Tommy John, missed 2016. Had mononucleosis last year and missed all of, or he missed Tommy 2015 with Tommy John, and had mono and missed 2016. Came back in 2017. Obviously had innings restrictions, only threw 83 innings, but he threw the ball very, very well. So Lewis Thorpe is a guy to follow. He was like I said, a high budget Australian kid that they signed a couple years back. Travis Blankenhorn is a good second base, third base kind of power guy. 8 home runs, 9 steals. A little bit old for the level in the Midwest League. 13 steals and 13 home runs, I'm sorry. 22 doubles, 11 triples. So a lot of extra base hits, 46 of them in 118 games. 251, 343, 441 for Blankenhorn. I think he's probably a utility guy, but he's got the bat, potential trade bait maybe. He can be a league average third baseman, I think, in time. Blaine Enlow is another arm I like. You know, the Twins had the biggest bonus in the draft when they took Lewis number one, and they were able to, you know, get Enlow with the 76th overall pick. He's a 6'4 right-handed pitcher with a curveball. Curveball's the best pitch. Had a commitment to LSU, so you know he's got some stuff. And I'm not going to school, obviously. It's hard to take much from his 20-inning sample, but he looked good, only 4 walks, 19 strikeouts. So I like Blaine Enloe. He's 18 years old. It's going to be a while, but he's a nice prospect to follow. Jermaine Palacios is a nice middle infield shortstop kind of guy. He got promoted up to high A, hit 269, 303, 359. He's 21 years old, but he tore up, you know, the Midwest League, 322, 362, 544, 11 home runs, 11 homers, and 9 stolen bases in the Midwest League. Was caught too many times to be an effective base dealer, but he's a middle infield guy that can. He's got a lot of tools. Andrew Bechtold is a third baseman. They drafted him in the 4th round, I believe, this year. Former University of Maryland guy, 299, 406, 424. Got some power, got some plate approach. And Mitch Garber should be up this year. I think he's a good guy. I like him a lot as a potential backup catcher. He can play the outfield. He's athletic. 291, 387, 541 in AAA this year. 17 homers, 29 doubles. Very, very nice stat line. He can hit a little bit, doesn't strike out much, can walk. I think he's going to take over that job from Jason Castro within the next year or two. I like Mitch Garber a lot. And Jose Miranda was another high draft pick, 73rd overall, Puerto Rican kid, third baseman, power bat, power upside, 283, 340, 484 in the rookie Appy League, a 2016 draft pick. I like him a lot too. Jose Miranda, 19 years old. There's a lot of talent in this system. Again, it's not like the Cardinal system we covered before this with you and I did, but I don't know another guy, Zach Granite, Major League ready, probably 4th outfielder. I think he can be a poor man's Ben Gamble, but he has more speed. I just don't know if he's going to get to use it. 15 stolen bases in AAA, 338, 392, 475 line is a fantastic line. 16 doubles, 4 triples, 5 homers. So get an idea of the kind of power. The power is limited, but he's a very nice defensive player. And I think he's a guy that I like a lot. He's unlucky in the major leagues, only had a 250 BABIP. Not a lot holding him back here. I think he's a good source of cheap steals late in the draft. So I like Granite.
Anyone else you want to touch on, Matt?
No, I think this is it. It's a good talented system. Zach Littell, a good back end starter, really, really good command, good changeup and curveball. Fastball is probably, he doesn't have the big fastball, so he's underrated on some of these lists, but he's a guy that just gets outs. So I like him a lot. Gabriel Moyo is a high leverage relief arm for them. Tyler Jay, University of Illinois, strictly reliever, but he could be something. But yeah, it's a nice system. Heavy on the bullpen arms, a couple of other guys I'm not going to get into. I think it's a, what do we say pre-podcast, 10 to 12 range?
Yeah, 10 to 12 or 12 to 15, one of those two. So.
Right, I think, yeah, there's a lot of stuff here to like. I mean, who's your favorite under-the-radar guy in the system?
You know, it is probably Lewin Diaz. If it's not him, then it would be Kirilloff. And the reason I like Kirilloff is just because I liked the bat that he had coming out of prep school. I thought that he was going to be someone who, you know, could be 25 home runs and close to like a 290 average and maybe throw in the occasional steal or something. I thought that would be someone who you could look at. So,
yeah, I agree with that. That's an attainable upside. That's on the higher end of the upside, but that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I always personally wanted JT Chargot to actually do something, but he'll never really be anything at this point, so it's kind of a disappointment that he's had.
They got a lot of relief options. He could fit into there nicely. Felix Jorge, another guy that could be a late-inning starter. You know, a lot of late-inning starters, or late-inning, a lot of back-end starters and late-inning relievers on this farm system.
Yeah, I always thought Chargot was going to be the closer, especially because they didn't really seem to have one for the last 2 years. That was someone who that they really had nailed down, and you know, I wasn't a fan of forget the guy now who was traded over to Washington. Can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Brandon Kinsler?
Yeah. I didn't think that he was going to be there for a while, so I was like, okay, Chargot could come up and take this shot, but he's had so many arm issues and everything that I don't think that's going to happen. So
yeah, the Twins actually were smart too. They went after Ohtani, made that run, so they acquired all that bonus pool stuff, and they ended up not getting him, but they turned that bonus pool into, they made a couple trades, and they traded with the Angels and picked up Jacob Pearson, who was a 3rd-round pick this year. And anytime you can get a high upside player like that, then they picked up David Benuelos from the Mariners. The Mariners are also kind of making that run at Ohtani. Didn't get him. But he's a nice catching prospect. So they did well. The new leadership in Minnesota is doing a very nice job. They got a lot of talent. Tyler Watson they picked up in a small trade as well. He was in the Brandon Kinstler trade, the aforementioned guy. The guy from the left side that throws hard, over a strikeout per inning, needs a third pitch, could be a dominant reliever. It's kind of a theme in the system. They turned a lot of they maximized a lot of their assets here, and that's always a good sign.
All right, Matt, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
MD Tom FWFB and turning out these prospect stuff, baby. Prospect season is a busy season for me, so.
And I can be reached at BBrandsFWFB. You'll be able to find some of my written articles in the draft guide that we're going to be producing within next month. You can find me on one of our regular baseball shows with Evan Pearson and Ray Kuhn. You'll also be able to find me a couple times a week with Eric Mackey on the basketball podcast. From the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball offseason, everyone.